You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com, bringing you the freshest radio in Brooklyn since 2009. Hear directly from chefs to farmers, artists to architects, authors to brewers, and everyone in between. Check out all of our shows on our website or by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store.
I'm Sam Edwards. I'm third-generation cure master from S. Wallace Edwards & Sons in Surrey, Virginia. We support the Heritage Radio Network because we believe in the cause and what they're doing. They're supporting family-raised livestock, small family farms, certified humane, pasture-raised, antibiotic-free. Basically, we take the products from Heritage Foods USA and make them into Serrano-style hams, prosciutto-style hams, bacon, sausage, like my grandfather did. You can find us at SurreyFarms.com or VirginiaTraditions.com.
Hi, everybody. You tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money. Making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, and I'm here with my co-host, Andrew Bright and Early Newman.
Yes, thank you. Jack, what time was I here?
Early.
Jack.
Just say early.
Jack.
And we want to recognize our two producers in the booth tonight, today. We got Jack Inslee, and we got Carlos. Carlos, I don't know your last name.
They don't want to talk to us today. Let's just move on with the show.
All right. Well, Carlos is out there, too. Carlos, no-name producer. And we want to let you know that we're on every Thursday from 4:30 to 5. We stream live, and you can call us during the show. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone number is
718-497-2128.
497-2128. And if you can't listen live, all shows are archived on the website. And there are podcasts available, download free through iTunes. So that is Flash Talks Cash housekeeping. Today's show is economics via the artist's mind. And we have two very interesting guests today with us. We have Carl Erickson. Say hi, Carl.
Hello.
Carl is the executive director of the Dumbo Arts Center in Brooklyn, in Dumbo, New York. And we have a very special visitor. We have Aaron Bergman. And he is the artist that is putting up a show about economics. Say hi, Aaron.
How you doing?
And he's doing a show with Alejandra Salinas. Did I say that right?
There you go.
Oh, good. She couldn't make it to the show. She's busy back working. Poor woman. The show opens tonight at 6 o'clock, and so they're putting the finishing touches. But I want to tell you a little bit about what I found about these guys and why they're here on the show. If you were listening, tuning in a couple of weeks ago, we had an interesting artist. His name was Jim Leonard, and he was talking about Kickstarter and some of the projects that he wants to do down the road. He mentioned a friend of his or a gallery that he knows is doing a show about economics, an artistic show about economics. And it piqued my interest because that's what we do here. We're I don't know if we're artists.
We're more finance and economics.
But we do economics.
And definitely not artistic.
So the word just intrigued me. So I met up with Carl and Aaron and Alejandra. And they have a very interesting view about economics. It's not yours and my view, Drew.
Well, can we have them explain what it is, or are you going to keep talking about it?
No. I'm going to tell you how I got to these guys, and then they're going to explain to us how they see it. Well, I'm just trying to tell the listeners.
How about you tell the story instead of keep talking about it?
Well, tell the listeners that their view on economics, although it's the same subject, it has a completely different outlook or what can I say? I don't know. So Carl, let's talk about, first of all, this is not your first economics art show.
No.
So give us a little background on what you're doing with economics in the art world.
Sure. Well, this whole season of exhibitions, the next four or five shows that we have going on, all of them have been addressing the idea of economics in a variety of forms. Some of them are strictly about money and how it's used, but others are really playing fast and loose with the term. It could be just an economy of means using a minimal of materials. Some of it could be about exchange value. How do we accrue things? How do we give them away? How does this economy of ideas bind us together? And so this is the fourth show that we've done on this theme. And yeah.
And so give us some examples in the past how the artists did explain or share their view on those the exchanges and money and other things. Give me a, because I was blown away by the way the artist's mind thinks.
Oh, sure. The show we just closed over the summer was organized by an artist named Annie Shaw, and she built a library for Dumbo, and she invited a whole bunch of different artists to interpret the idea of a library in different ways. And a library is a thing that binds a community together. It's a place where people can come, but it's also where resources are shared and given away. And one of the artists that was particularly interesting were Liz Linden and Jin Kennedy. They have built this feminist exchange library where the library always stays the same size. Yeah. But you can come in and exchange a book that you believe is about feminism and take a feminism book uh-huh. out, and they track who the books go to and how, and they just watch this ever-growing tree, but it never grows. And the other main component of the show was a kind of standard checkout library or lending library that Annie invited all the residents of the Dumbo neighborhood, because there is not a library in Dumbo. There have been many attempts, just never took hold. And part of that tale is economics.
Right.
But the
city's broke.
The city's broke. Dumbo's not. But they. so it was really interesting to get a portrait
I'm
of
a resident of Dumbo. They didn't invite me to the library.
There was probably a sign slid underneath your door.
I don't think so. They wouldn't allow that in my door. So they had this library. They had this library.
I know, so exclusive over there in Dumbo.
Listen, they don't allow flies under your door either.
I get menus every day at my building. Are you kidding me? We're not all as rich as you. We don't have doorman over here.
Oh, okay. So back to the library concept. Sure. So the girls put up a library. I assume they were women.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. And so and then we had our first unofficial library in Dumbo.
Yep. And we what we found was that a lot of the people in the neighborhood wanted to share their books, but they didn't really want to check out the library, check books out. We have a few that did and really used it and welcomed the library being in the neighborhood. But it became almost this weird social sculpture or a portrait of the neighborhood by what people had read. And it's not at all what we thought would happen. We didn't know if people would use it or not, but we didn't think that it would present this kind of image of people, especially the books that they liked enough to not just throw away, but
they didn't
not
give away their
keep.
Best stuff.
Right.
They kept their prized possessions at home.
Exactly.
You think? Did they tell you that?
No. No.
Oh.
I would assume as much as well. It's not like you give away your favorite book and expect to not get it back. Wouldn't you?
I don't feel that way about books, so I don't know.
Well, especially if you have a nice book.
Once I read a book, I'm like ready to give it away.
Okay.
Yeah. So
you're different. Well, you're special.
Stop it. So the library was a success in the show, mm-hmm. and some of the other things. Could you give us an example?
The other shows that we've done around.
Yeah,
the
interesting things about economics in the art world.
True.
And the artist's view.
And another pair of artists totally. Just went in a whole different direction with the term economy, and they're the ones where I realized the term like an economy of means. It was an artist pair, Brian O'Connell and Todd Beret, and what they did, they started the show with a finite set of materials, and it was basically just a couple of sheets of plywood and some concrete, and they made one set of work, and it's too complicated to try to explain over the radio what it was, but they took that, and then the leftovers from making that piece with all the materials they had, they made the next piece of work, and then the leftovers from that they used to make the third set.
I
and so
see.
It was like this diminishing pile of things that they could make stuff out of until even all their work surfaces and things were cannibalized into art objects for the show.
Oh, I see.
That's cool.
That was interesting.
It was neat, and you could actually trace it as around the gallery. It kind of made a circular motion. You could follow the dwindling means of making the art. Mm-hmm.
So
the
you curate these shows? You decide what goes in and what's not?
Well, it's interesting. Aaron and I were just talking about what I call myself. Since I'm the director of the Dumbo Art Center, I usually just choose people and set kind of the limits around either side that they can work in. And we're debating if that's something that I could live with being called a curator or just an enabler.
Enabler of good or bad behavior, whatever that could be, whatever it is.
What'd you guys decide? Differing opinion, I see.
Yeah.
I think maybe a curator and enabler are the same thing, but it depends on the curator.
Uh-huh. Okay. So now we have... So you've done a few shows, and now you're putting up a new show tonight, right? It opens tonight. And we got Aaron, who has his own view on economics. And I went to see the show while it was still being put up. And I found some interesting things about money in your show, Aaron. So talk to us. Tell us, well, you got approached by call, I guess, and how the process went from let's do a show about economics to what you actually, you and Alessandra actually put in the gallery the other day.
Well, part of the reason Carl asked us is because we've been working with economics for quite a while, or anyway, and economics is a theme that's been running through our work for quite a few years.
Oh, yeah?
So then it just sort of, it made sense.
Uh-huh.
But then to do a solo show, we had to, of course, go through a long process of figuring out what to put in there and making way too many works and then throwing some of them out, et cetera.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
What exactly is it? What is it that you have in the gallery?
Well, let me tell you some of the exhibits.
Why don't you
he's got lots of things in there, and I'm going to tell you the ones.
So we're going to get your highlights of the show before we actually hear from him what the show is.
No, he's did an economics show, and I was okay. All right, we'll ask Aaron to tell us some of the stuff that he put in that show.
All right, maybe. Well, okay. I mean, in a boring way, there's a bunch of objects and a couple of videos and some paperworks. But maybe I'll just read the poem.
You have a poem. You have a poem?
I have a couple, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Gladly will I sell for profit, dear merchants of the town, my hat laden with snow. So I didn't write that.
Who wrote that?
Yeah, that's an old Japanese.
Oh, Japanese
Zen haiku. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this kind of stuff's been going on for millions of years.
Yeah.
Right. So you didn't invent anything new. You just took something that's been around for a million years and put it into this gallery, and expressed yourself. Expressed.
That was just one poem. Why don't you let the guy explain what exactly his show is?
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Thought there was more. I thought that was the end of the poem.
It's also the title of the show.
Yeah, that was the end of the poem, but. I assume there's more than just a poem.
People don't
just show up and you're reading a poem.
No, yeah. That's the title of the show.
Okay.
So that sets the tone for the rest of it.
Okay.
Okay, well, I'll just break it down to why I thought this poem was cool. Because, first of all, what do we do in the art business? Are we selling stuff or not? Because sometimes it's kind of unclear. Because artists are always like, well, I'm too good to worry about, you know, the sales of my stuff. I'm above that.
You buy that?
Me, I've been, as a teenager, I was into that.
That's idealistic, yeah. Isn't it?
And then since then, I still kind of buy into that.
Oh, yeah?
Well, but are you holding on to the dream?
I'm holding on to the dream.
Okay.
Well, then you substitute with a day job. Because how do you pay your rent and eat?
That's a very long story with lots of ins and outs. We were professional musicians for about 10 years.
You and Alessandra?
Yes.
Okay.
And we ran a record label and we did like strange gigs and we traveled all over and we made just about enough to not starve to death.
Got it.
For 10 years.
Got it.
And since then we've been doing art shows and now I'm a professor.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, good. So you got that day job.
A day job.
And you got the medical insurance. That's the American way. You got a day job, you have medical insurance, right?
I live in Norway, so that's no matter what you do, you have a medical insurance.
Good. We should all go to Norway. Or Obama should just visit Norway and see what he could do for us. Go ahead.
What was the other?
I think it was the whole question right there.
No, so you were talking about how...
Oh, yeah, why I like this. So that was the first part of it. Dear merchants of the town. So the show addresses New York directly. So this is our first solo show in New York.
Okay.
And so, like, generally speaking, in the radar of an artist, that's kind of a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
This is our first solo show in New York, so we're addressing this to a New York audience. Dear merchants of the town, I mean, what is the most important activity in New York?
Wall Street? Is that what you're going to say?
Well, merchants. It's moving money around.
Money? Mm-hmm. Well, Wall
That's
Street.
That's the most important activity.
Yeah, we're the financial capital of the world, I guess, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, then my hat laden with snow. So, of course, that's the oof, you know, that's the thing that makes this work.
Mm-hmm.
My hat laden with snow. So, like, it'll melt.
I don't get this.
I mean...
So
you're gonna
that's
sell.
Why an artist doesn't think like a financial person.
This poet basically, and then by proxy ourselves, we're selling this thing that's the hat, right?
Yeah.
But it's laden with so it's a combination of a hat with snow on it. That's the artwork.
Uh-huh. It's a very momentary, ephemeral.
Yeah, it's very
and it's like so the so like it's just ridiculous.
Uh huh.
It's absurd to sell a hat laden with snow.
Oh,
but and we're happy to do it.
Yeah. So he's kind of like mocking New York, apparently.
No, are you mocking New York?
No, I'm.
No, I don't think so.
I think, well, you know,
it's a little.
There's a couple of layers, and one of them is a mock.
There's some looking down their nose at, but also at the same time,
is that the idealistic person coming out when you do that mockery? Is that because you're idealistic, or you're making fun of our capitalist city?
Maybe making fun of the American artist.
Oh, I don't think so. He's American, by the way. He lives in Denmark, but
maybe
he is American.
That's why he fled
Norway,
to Norway.
Norway, yeah.
Norway, I'm sorry.
You really got that wrong.
Okay, American. Listen. Let me just take a minute now, and we're going to come back and discuss in more details the show that you're putting up tonight, okay?
All right.
And we'll be right back. Hold on.
Yo. Check. It's your boy, Tommy Boots. Repping Rhythm Rhyme Results. 10 Economic Principles. Yo, we trading this for that, call it tit for tat. Yo, we all face trade-offs and that's a fact, because everything is in a finite supply. And that's the reason why we all sell and buy. Next up is rule deuce, the next best use of money or time defines its true value. It's more convoluted than just the simple cost. What else could you do? What opportunities are lost? Decisions at the margin, yeah, that's the key to understanding principle number three. Take your present situation and assume that it's the best. If change is worth more than it costs, then that's your test. Lesson number four, it's like the carrot and the stick. We break it down so you can see what makes the world tick. So why do we do the things that we do? It's a system of incentives that we all respond to. Demand, supply, demand, supply. Listen up, learn this, and you'll know why. We work, we buy, we work, we buy. The price is right when the competition's alive. Demand, supply, demand, supply. Learn this, and you'll know why.
Okay, we're back. Flash Talks Cash is talking to Carl
Erickson and Aaron Bergman.
Thank you, Andrew. And these
guys are telling us
about the economics in the art, from the artist's view. And Aaron is going to tell us some more about the show that's going up tonight. So we talked about the poem, and he's explaining the poem to us financial people who don't. I'll speak for myself. Don't understand or speak in metaphors. A hat filled with snow is a hat filled up with snow. And
well, would you buy that?
I don't know. If I needed a hat, yeah, I'd buy the hat, dump the snow out, and put it on my head.
But that's not the creative aspect.
Okay, see, that's what I'm trying to tell him. That's what the view that
but
I have.
But that's what the haiku, the poem is about.
It's not a haiku, yeah, but I know they speak in metaphors.
It is, right?
It's a haiku?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, so let's move on to whatever else you want to tell us about.
What is your interpretation that the show is portraying like of economics and the art world and how they interrelate and things like that?
Well, there's a couple of pieces that actually have money in it.
Okay.
So there's bills. There are bills.
Okay.
And these pieces, of course, we'll talk about one piece that is a brick. So it's a compressed brick of 50,000 shredded euros.
Okay.
So,
That sounds depressing.
That is topped with.
Was it your money that you shredded, or is
well,
this
hold
like?
Hold on, now. I'll get there. So then, that's topped with a gold statue of poop. And the gold statue of poop is Japanese. It's a Japanese good luck charm.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they think it will bring money. / the Freudian idea of gold being the adult man's fixation with feces.
I didn't know that. But I did see the piece, and I asked the same question you asked, Andrew, about where did you get the 50,000 shredded euros? He's going to tell you.
Okay.
It's a standard practice when currency gets too damaged to shred it up.
Okay.
And you could go and buy it? Or?
Well, yeah, we just found this on eBay, so somebody had it, and we haven't been able to find one since, so I'm not sure if it's standard to sell these bricks like they are in the euro zone, but I've definitely have seen shredded U.S. dollars, like stuffed animals
it.
And whatever.
They shred it. I thought they burned it.
Maybe they burn it, but I've seen shredded dollars around as like a common thing you can buy in shops in toys and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so I haven't seen that with euros. So perhaps this is a little bit
unusual or mm-hmm. like out of market or something like that.
Okay.
So that one, when I saw it, I understood that. I got that because mm-hmm. that was pretty obvious to me. So then tell us some more.
Wait, what was your interpretation of that?
Well, I got the shredded euro in the brick, and he explained about the Japanese golden poop.
Okay.
And he did tell me the tradition is that it's good luck, right? Is that what you said? It brings good fortune or something? Yeah. That was pretty easy for me to get. But let him tell you some more.
So the golden poop on top of a brick of money means what?
Well,
no, I want to hear what she interpreted this as.
I think good fortune coming. You know, good fortune will be coming.
All right. And what was your interpretation of this?
Well, it's also sitting on a pile of bricks.
Wait, I thought the brick was the money.
And there's bricks underneath it holding the whole thing up.
Oh, okay.
So there's a column of bricks.
Okay.
And then the brick of money.
Okay.
And then the feces, which is also known as dropping a brick.
Okay.
I didn't know that. That must be a male thing.
I've heard said saying before, and
okay.
I would not have interpreted it that way, but okay.
That's cool.
So it's three bricks.
I gotcha.
Three bricks. All right. So the brick thing.
And the brick of gold, which also is in the show.
Is it brick of gold?
I mean, yeah, you can buy, you know, like if you have lots of money, you can exchange that for a brick of gold.
Right. So you had golden bricks in the show. Yeah, I remember. I wrote that note. Yep. All right. So tell Andrew some more about what was in there regarding the economics.
Is there an overall theme to the show, or is it just different interpretations at different times of how you feel about money and economics and artwork, and then... Is that how it works, or is there an overall like theme that you have running through?
The theme ended up being longevity and durability.
Okay.
Which then the economics thing came through, but then she wasn't so interested in that. So.
Well, we do a show about cash.
About cash.
Flash Talks Cash.
So let me do a story that's a tie-in. Okay, so because we have other shows that basically to sum them up, other shows that discuss the longevity of an artwork, uh-huh. why an artwork will survive. Why this thing will last longer than others.
Uh-huh.
For example, will paper disappear? Will a digital file disappear? Will a thing etched into granite, will that disappear?
We got a phone call. Maybe somebody wants to ask Aaron a question. So let's listen and to see what they want to say. Hello, who's there?
Hello, Flash. It's Ray.
Hi, Ray.
Yeah, well, I'm listening to this, and I have my own interpretation of the hat laden with snow.
All right, let's see if Aaron and you are on the same page, Ray.
You know, an artist creates something that's very personal and means a lot to the artist himself. And once the snow melts, it doesn't mean anything to anybody else other than the artist who originally made it. So in the world of economics, it's very hard for an artist to price that thing that means so closely, that he's so connected with.
Right.
And then when it comes out onto the market, it's not the same value. So that's the conflict that we have.
I see. Aaron, you agree with something like that?
It's an interesting point, but I think the one thing we should say is that the market is not a singular thing. It's a constant flux.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the market for a hat laden with snow one day might be zero, but what if it comes in fashion?
Mm-hmm.
Right. That suddenly in Williamsburg, all the hipsters have hats with snow on them. Suddenly there's a market for that. Suddenly my hat laden with snow is very valuable.
Right.
Either that or they just start selling snow and people put it on their hats. And
all right.
Okay. Yeah, and the artist himself has no control over that. Or really, once his hat laden with snow is done, it's done.
It's done. Except Andy Warhol was pretty good at being a marketer as an artist.
Yes, he was.
Yes, and that's where I always push the artist. You know, you have to be a business person also in addition to being an artist. Thanks for the call, Ray.
You let a guy on the radio once and all of a sudden he can't get away from it.
So, Aaron, let's go back to where you were going with your... you were talking about the durability.
Right. Okay. So I'll just say one story. Henry Ford, you know, the industrialist, the great car man, the guy, the Detroit guy. I'm from Detroit, by the way.
Ah.
Henry Ford was, among other things, was a collector of art. So he had, of course, lots of money, and mm-hmm. he bought lots of art. He had, at one point, an extremely precious vase from, I don't remember the details, but I guess Greece, we'll say.
Yes.
He had this vase laying around the kitchen. And I guess it was in some place nice or whatever. The help knocked it over.
Okay.
And busted it.
Yes.
And so that's it. The precious vase is gone, right?
Yes.
And so there was a lot of historians and people who care about art who were angry at Henry Ford because they said, look, you have the money to buy it. You have the money to own it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you really own it. You are just owning the right to take care of it mm-hmm. for the next generation.
Got mm-hmm. it.
And so that is, I think, at the heart of a lot of issues in the art world and economics.
I understand. Well, I understand that. Truly, I do.
Well, you can just look at the world as a piece of art then if you want to put it in that perspective and say we're all just here keeping it going
That's
forward,
right.
but we're actually just destroying it.
A lot of people are destroying it, yeah. So, yes.
You know, that's it's all perspective, I guess, when you're looking at things like this.
It's interesting because should everything be preserved? You know, like in Japan, for example, it's typical to tear down buildings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just don't think that it's so valuable to keep an old building mm-hmm. there. They
right.
prefer to build a new one. It's just
right.
better.
Right.
In other places, it's, you know, you should...
In
Dumbo, for
yeah.
example, a lot of these old buildings are preserved instead of tearing them down and building new ones.
New, yes.
Detroit is like 50-50, where, like, because of economic reasons, a lot of these buildings are just being torn down
yeah.
or forgotten
about. Or
they're
falling apart themselves.
Falling apart or whatever. And then some things are being saved.
So are you looking at as economics as a way of preserving these things as well? The longevity of the art through... funding and things like that, then? Is that another perspective you have in your show, or is that just something you're inferring at this point?
Well, I think I have my own opinions, but it's in a way that's not so interesting, because
uh-huh.
then the more interesting thing for me would be to just look at this
okay.
as, like, you know, what is this situation of the longevity of an artwork and the longevity of these things that are precious at one point or not, or then... Also interesting is when something is worthless and then becomes precious later. Everyone
right.
loves that story.
Oh, yeah. sure. Sure, or the vice versa, like Henry Ford. He had a very, very valuable vase, and suddenly when it's broken, it's not worth anything, right? So it's the opposite.
So do you want to give the information on the show?
Yeah, let's give us a little bit about the two of you want to jump in and tell us something about the show, get the people to come down and give us details.
Eric?
Carl, you can call me. That's okay.
Erickson, sorry.
But the show, it opens tonight at 6 p.m., goes till about 9 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
We're going to have some delicious beverages there. Once again, the show is called Gladly Will I Sell for Profit, Dear Merchants of the Town, My Hat Laden with Snow. And it runs from today, September 8th through November 6th.
And the address?
The address is 111 Front Street, number 212 in Brooklyn, New York. And the web address is www.dumboartcenter.org.
Which we should tell you was done with consultation with Pun Yin. Internationally famous feng shui advisor.
Oh, right.
Cool.
Also doing the advising for Donald Trump, among other people.
Oh, cool.
Very interesting.
Tell the listeners the difference between American artists and Danish. Danish? Did I get it right?
Norwegian.
Norway.
He's Norwegian.
Sorry.
Norwegian.
Norwegian.
Where should I start?
The culture and... No, I'm just talking about how you guys got funded through this and the things you told me, how different it is from here to there.
Right. It's socialism, and the people have decided that art is a worthwhile thing to be funded, and so taxpayers pay for art production. There are massive artist grants and subsidies. You can be a professional artist and not sell one work just by getting artist grants. We have been beneficiaries of this system, but yeah.
Do you have to produce something? At all? You don't have to sell it, but you have to produce something for the public or anything like that? Or is it just
you have to
on your good word that they give you money?
It's basically a peer-reviewed thing, so you okay. have to be cool and look good with the peers, or else they won't give you the grants later. So, like,
so it's networking.
Absolutely.
So is it strictly government funding, or is it a mix between private foundations and government funding?
There are a couple of private foundations, but they mostly buy American artists.
So our system is mostly private, right, for the most part, or self-funded. You get some government grants.
Right. Well,
but our portion is much smaller. Is that our government portion, I should say?
I guess percentage-wise, it's probably smaller. We're a much larger country, so
yes.
we have a lot more money supporting the arts.
Yeah, but in relation to per artist, it's probably very small. I mean, you make a living out of government grants. Is that kind of right, Aaron?
No, I make a living. It's a mixed base.
Well, okay, but an artist could make a living out
of
government.
An artist does. Lots of artists do make livings with government. And as a matter of fact, let me tell you this one thing. After 40, you can apply for a lifetime subsidy. So you get paid every year for the rest of your life a salary.
To be an artist, mm-hmm. without having to sell any work.
You don't have to do anything.
That's pretty amazing. Boy, we're going to, our listeners could be going to the airport now. And
is it easy to move to Norway?
I'll just fall in love with a Norwegian person.
Is that it?
Okay.
Well, it's a very comfortable place. It's like always rated top five as far as in the world, as far as best places to live, quality of life, all sorts of things, right? It's pretty good. What made you go there?
I like Scandinavia.
Oh, yeah?
And I like socialism. And I like money.
How long have you been living there?
4 years.
Oh, 4 years. Mm-hmm. And prior to that, you were living in America for all the time?
No, in Sweden before that, uh-huh. and in Barcelona before that, in London uh-huh. before that, in Toronto before that, in New York.
Oh, wow.
And your co...
Alejandra.
And how long have you two been together?
We've been together...
Working together, or...
Well, we've been married...
Okay.
...for 13 years.
Okay. And you've been working
and together... And collaborate on all your work together?
We collaborate on all our work together.
Okay. Cool.
Well, I want to thank you guys for coming. I want to tell everybody to go to the show. It's very interesting. There was a lot of... As far as I was concerned, a lot of stuff about numbers, money, economics, macro, micro. It was really cool.
Is this part of the Dumbo Arts Festival, or is it?
No.
It's not. It will be on during the Dumbo Arts Festival.
Oh, cool. Okay. So if you can't make it to the show before, the big festival's at the end of September. But this show starts tonight. I guess you get some free wine and meet the artists tonight. You're going to be leaving the country soon, right, Aaron?
Tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning.
So no, sorry. We're going to Detroit tomorrow morning and I'm leaving the country after that.
Okay. So if you want to meet with the artists tonight, and he'll even tell you even more information if you want to, because I know that when I go to see these shows, the artists like to explain their work, because sometimes it's hard for us to understand what it is that you guys are telling us. And when you explain it, I'm like, wow, that's really cool. How'd you think of that? Good job, guys. All right. I want to say goodbye. Thanks again for coming, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
This is a message from Fork and Anchor. Aaron Fitzpatrick, the host of our wine program, Unfiltered, is looking for help on Kickstarter to open Fork and Anchor, a general store inspired by two food-loving ladies with an equal affection for urban life, the sea, and the agricultural paradise of Long Island's North Fork. The store is situated in a growing community of farmers and winemakers and will become a meeting place offering prepared foods, a variety of sun-dries, and a selection of homespun products, many of which will have their origins in New York State. Your backing will help them fulfill their dream of fostering relationships with the community and making the local food system accessible on a broader scale. Search Kickstarter.com for Fork and Anchor and donate today. The following is a message from NOFA NY. Do you dig local food? Love organic farmers? Do you crave to be part of a growing movement of consumers concerned with the state of our nation's food system? Then sign up today to take the NOFA NY's Locavore Challenge this September. Join 5,000 other New York locavores that are hungry, active, and ready to change our food system. Learn more at www.nylocavorechallenge.com.
Every spring at the end of kidding season, goat dairies across the country are faced with the question of what to do with their male bucklings. Because on a dairy farm, there's no role for a male. Often, the most economical thing for these farmers to do is to cull the animals at birth or ship them off to the commodity market. Heritage Foods USA is embarking on a new project, No Goat Left Behind, looking to step in and fill this niche by creating a marketplace for these male bucklings. Visit us at www.heritagefoodsusa.com to learn more and to reserve your goat this coming October.